Welcome to Find the Money, the podcast that breaks down and brings clarity to the financial issues faced by family lawyers, business owners, and divorcing spouses. I'm Jason Soman, a divorce forensic accountant and business valuation analyst here in South Florida. On today's episode, this is going to be a joint episode between the Find the Money podcast as well as the Personal Goodwill podcast, because on today's topic, we are going to talk about personal versus enterprise goodwill. So personal versus enterprise goodwill, this is a big issue in Florida divorce cases involving the valuation of a business. So when you value a business, I think I would be remiss if I didn't start with what the topic of what is goodwill before I start getting into what's the value of personal goodwill. So take a business. I value the business at $1 million. The value of the hard assets, the real estate, the furniture and equipment, the cash, accounts receivable, less the debts, the payables, the mortgage, so on and so forth. Let's say that's $100,000. So that means that those $100,000 in assets are generating a value for my company of $1 million. So what that difference is, the $1 million less the $100,000 is $900,000 in total goodwill. Goodwill is an intangible asset. What's happening in this situation is that the intangible value of the company that's not captured in the value of the hard assets is generating a value in excess of the value of its assets, and that's what's referred to as total goodwill. Then the question becomes, in Florida divorce, and the reason for this is because that value of goodwill that's attributable to an individual is not a distributable asset for divorce purposes. So take your $1 million, let's call it a doctor's practice, a medical practice. The medical practice is worth $1 million. The value of the total assets are $100,000. So total goodwill is $900,000. Then the question becomes, what portion of the $900,000 in total goodwill is attributable to the individual? And then what portion of goodwill is attributable to the business or the enterprise? So as you could imagine, this is a frequent issue in companies involving business owners that are involved in a divorce. As you could imagine, the business owner oftentimes has the position due to the laws in Florida. And in other states, it's not like this. In New York, New Jersey, personal goodwill, it varies state by state. This issue of personal goodwill is not the same in New York or New Jersey. However, it is similar in many other jurisdictions. I think a majority of the states in the United States do not consider personal goodwill to be a marital asset. The income generating ability of someone who, let's say, is a solo doctor, runs $1 million value, a practice worth $1 million in, you know, let's call it the real world, versus worth maybe less than that in the divorce court. I think it's hard to understand for certain people. And I think that, you know, one of the key issues in terms of personal goodwill is, you know, is it transferable? Would this person, if they walked away from the business, would they take all the clients with them? Would it cause irreparable harm from the business? I know from speaking to attorneys and just kind of being in this industry that, you know, a judge in a trial is not going to force someone to sign a non-compete in Florida. So what does that mean? If there's no non-compete, what is that business worth? So here I have with me BVR's Guide to Personal versus Enterprise Goodwill, 5th edition. I thought that if I brought this along with me, that I could share some good definitions as it relates to personal goodwill, and kind of, I highly recommend this book to any attorneys or CPAs or valuation analysts who are involved in personal goodwill valuation disputes and divorce. And, you know, I highly recommend this book. It's a very thick book. It has a lot of information on certain cases in different states, as well as a bunch of passages by some of the, I like to call them the valuation, business valuation Hall of Famers. You know, you got Jay Fishman writing here. You got Ron Signor writing here. You know, a ton of really highly esteemed business valuation professionals. Kevin Yiannopoulos, Rod Berker, Jim Allardine. This is a really great resource, especially in states where personal goodwill is an issue in divorces. So in the BVR's Guide to Personal Goodwill, it says, goodwill should be considered enterprise or practice goodwill only if it would continue to exist in the enterprise if the practitioner were not present. Therefore, a good litmus test of whether goodwill is practice or personal, and when they use the term professional goodwill or practice goodwill, they're kind of used interchangeably with personal goodwill since this is an issue in medical practices, is the extent to which truly excess earnings over the above adequate return to capital and adequate compensation for the work performed would continue to exist in the absence of that key individual. So, I mean, I think the best example is a medical practice, a law practice, right? Like it's not the value of a law practice is not in the desks and chairs. It's in the personal skill and reputation of that individual. So the BVR's Guide to Personal versus Enterprise Goodwill breaks down, and this article that I'm referencing is an article written by Dr. Shannon Pratt called Overview of Personal and Enterprise Goodwill. So it says here some characteristics of personal goodwill versus enterprise goodwill. So first we'll start with some personal goodwill characteristics. A small entrepreneurial business highly dependent on the shareholders' personal skills and relationships. No pre-existing non-compete agreement between the selling company and the shareholder. Personal service provided by the shareholder is an important feature in the company's product or services. Sales are largely dependent on that shareholder's personal relationships with customers. Products and services, know-how, supplier relationships, client relationships rest primarily with that shareholder. Excellent industry reputation for that shareholder. So conversely, we'll talk some about the enterprise goodwill characteristics. A large business that has formalized organizational structure, systems, and controls. Employees have a pre-existing non-compete agreements with the selling company. So think about it. I know we just mentioned non-compete agreements as both a personal goodwill characteristic and also a enterprise goodwill characteristic, but the difference is with a personal goodwill, it's the fact that the main shareholder, the head doctor in a solo practice does not have a non-compete agreement, because that is risk to someone buying the company. But if you're buying a company and the employees are kind of, for lack of a better word, locked up with a non-compete agreement, this is something that would lend itself towards enterprise goodwill. The business is not heavily dependent on personal services performed by the shareholder. So let's take that medical practice, for example. Let's say that you own the medical practice, you're a doctor, but you really are not involved in the business operations. People are calling up the doctor practice because it's located on Google and Yelp. They're not calling for Dr. Jones. They're just calling because it's the only doctor practice within that geographic region with a lot of good reputation. And, you know, you may look at the Yelp reviews for this company and it mentions 8 different doctors that people see. It really has nothing to do with Dr. Jones. That might be something that's more enterprise goodwill versus if you look at this business and all the patients come in because of Dr. Jones's reputation. Like I said, the company's sales result from name recognition of the company, the sales force, the sales contracts. There's specialized production systems. There's a certain playbook. The business kind of runs itself. Like These are all things that are indications of enterprise goodwill. Contracts with major customers, and also, you know, and it says here the company's name does not include the shareholder's name. I think that this kind of varies on a case-by-case basis. I do think that there are certain, you know, JP Morgan Chase, is that tied up in, is that stock tied up in the personal reputation of JP Morgan? I mean, I think JP Morgan's been long gone from JP Morgan Chase, but these are big money issues. It's one of the reasons why we started the Personal Goodwill podcast. I think that the issues of non-competes that we spoke about, I think we'll have several episodes about those, because the issue of non-compete is a big one, because, you know, there's people who say that a non-compete is not really the value of someone's personal goodwill, but rather a non-compete is a mitigation control. I give credit to Josh Schultz. I heard Josh Schultz on the personal, on the AICPA Forensic Evaluation podcast. Josh is also co-host of this Personal Goodwill podcast. I'm sure we'll get some solo episodes from him as well. But in that conversation, I'll put the link to the, I'll put a link to the episode in the comments. In that podcast episode, Josh sat down with an employment attorney. I forget which firm, but that attorney pretty much agreed with Josh in that a non-compete agreement is not necessarily the end-all be-all as it relates to mitigating risk in terms of having a dominant shareholder that the business is highly dependent on, because people violate non-compete agreements all the time. Non-compete agreements are expensive to enforce, and they are not always enforced. And there's just a lot of gray areas it relates to non-compete. And, you know, somewhere in this book, and I don't have the exact quote, but Jim Allerding in this BVR's Guide to Personal versus Enterprise Goodwill mentioned that, you know, the value of a non-compete is almost like the value of a title insurance policy. It's kind of internal control, insurance policy, risk mitigation. So that is a good analogy to use towards a title insurance policy, right? Because the cost of title insurance is not necessarily equal to the value of the house, right? It's really just a risk mitigation tool. So I think it's important to understand that, you know, the non-compete, it's not always so black and white. You know, it's not always so indicative of what the value of someone's personal goodwill is. There's several methods and models to apportion personal goodwill versus enterprise goodwill. This is a very unique niche in the business valuation profession, personal versus enterprise goodwill. And it's one of the reasons why we're having this podcast. I may have said that already, but these could be very big money issues, especially nowadays where a large percentage of businesses are derive their value from intangible value. So it's not necessarily, it may not necessarily be so safe to say that this business is worth the value of its assets less its liabilities, if there's some secret sauce, right? There's some business enterprise secret sauce. So this is something that we're going to be dealing with for a long time, especially in Florida. I'm excited to endeavor on creating this second podcast series. It's not your everyday podcast. It's not like Find the Money where we record every single week. It's more of, let's create this podcast that's very focused on a very complicated issue that's difficult to understand. And let that be a resource for the business valuation community, the legal community. And we look forward to having some great guests on, doing a lot more podcasts, diving deep on each one of these issues. I think there's probably multiple episodes that we could do on non-compete agreements. I know that Josh Schultz and I have that in the works. And, you know, look forward to taking you on this journey with us. I think this is something that's going to play out in a lot of the cases. You know, it's a hotly contested issue. It's complicated. You talk to a lot of attorneys. They don't necessarily see this every single day. So that's what we're doing. personal versus enterprise goodwill. It's really an important concept to understand, especially if you're a family law attorney or going through a divorce, because this could really swing the needle. And I think understanding these key elements of what's a enterprise goodwill versus what's personal goodwill is extremely important. And just, you know, it like anything in the law, there's a lot of gray area. So understanding the different shades of gray, how we get there, and you know, is really important. I think we're going to go over some key cases on this podcast, and we'll have a good time. So thank you for joining. If you'd like to learn more about me and my firm, please visit us at www.divorceforensicaccountant.com. Please subscribe to Find the Money Podcast, Personal Goodwill Podcast, and thank you for joining. Take care.